Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. And good morning. It's Friday morning, August 25th, 2017, 7:30 here in the morning. I just moved it up half an hour, and just so I can don't have to get up so early. I'm extremely tired, and I'm glad to be here to do this show. You know, this is just a morning reflection, really, just my healing journey, and hopefully it's helping somebody else out there too, and sort of, you know, looking in to see where I'm at, you know, what I need to work on. Just keeps me on my healing journey so that I don't put it off and go for 6 months without doing any work on it. It sort of helps keep me accountable to myself. And so hopefully you're getting something out of the information too. And hopefully you had a good week. I'm glad it's Friday. And this, if you're a survivor, you want to make sure you're safe enough to be listening. So you want to do a safety checklist. You know, are you safe enough to really be listening to this information? If you're not sure, if you're safe enough, you need to get that information. You can get it from lots of different places. But HAVOCA has it, as well as the ASCA Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and More Center Program. They have a safety first chapter in their Survivor to Thriver workbook, which is like 60 pages long. A huge section of their workbook is devoted to safety first, which is really important. So make sure you get that information if you're not sure and you're just starting out on your healing journey, because you don't want to be triggered. And then, you know, information like this about anybody's, you know, about abuse or anybody else's story can trigger people. So you need to make sure that you're safe enough to listen. If you're not sure if you are or not, get that information first. Just turn the show off. You won't be hurting my feelings at all. And learn how to keep yourself safe, right? Everybody else, listen at your own discretion. I'm talking about abuse, very sensitive topic. So you want to know, you know, what's good for you to listen to, and if you're not sure if this is going to bother you, you just make the right decision for yourself, and, you know, because ultimately it's up to you. And so, you know, everybody else, you know, welcome to the show. I do have the chat room open there if you want to sit in there, and there's the link to the HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, HAVOCA.org. We're looking at their anger section, which is quite interesting. It's not as lengthy as, like, Dave Decker and Michael Obstadt's stuff on angerresources.com, but it's still good to listen to look at because it's got a little bit different information there. And I, you know, I'm always looking for something that's helpful for me to help me process my feelings and the you know, the trauma and whatnot from my past. So I'm always looking at information and looking for what's helpful for me. So hopefully that information is helpful for you too. So we'll get right into this. And it's been a busy week. So I could say, well, how am I doing this morning? You know, taking a look in, just reflecting. I'm actually really tired. It's Friday morning. I'm really glad it's Friday because I'm off on the weekend. And so I'm glad weekend's coming. And this week has just been kind of, it's just come and gone. I have no idea where it went. It's just gone. And that's how busy I've been. So I haven't had time to work on anything or do anything I needed to do. So I've just been trying to take care of stuff outside of my abuse survivor stuff. So I haven't had time to do anything or look in. I've been extremely tired. And otherwise, it's been a good week. I haven't had any problems as far as flashbacks go or anything like that, or too much anger or too much of this or too much of that. I'm just kind of almost feel numb. I don't have time to think about anything, and I've been so busy. So, you know, which is not necessarily a good thing. I feel like I need to do some work. I need to go in and do some inner child work, and that'll probably hopefully find some time to do this weekend. I'm going to have to kind of shut down a little bit this weekend just to do some of that reflection work and looking in to see where I'm at and work on some of my workbooks and whatnot that I've been putting off. Mainly the Wounded Heart workbook from Dr. Dan B. Allender, Wounded Heart for Survivors of CSA Child Sexual Abuse. So that's what I'm working on right now. It's a workbook and a book, and it's very helpful. I haven't done any work in it for so long now because I keep having to put it off, but I'm going to try to get some work done in that this weekend. Otherwise, I'm feeling pretty good. So I'm just happy it's Friday. I'm really glad the weekend's coming. And other than that, I'm feeling not too bad. But this is kind of what we can do every morning, you know, to make sure that to see how we're feeling. You know, if there's something that we need to work on, then we can concentrate on getting that help and getting that information, or, you know, finding someone to talk to, or whatever we need to do, you know, to make sure that we're staying on our healing journey and not just stuffing things or putting things away for, you know, and not dealing with things, and that, which then become a problem later, right? So, very important. So we're going to pick up where we left off on Monday. Well, we finished that cost of anger piece to this anger section, which I thought was very interesting. The cost of anger. This next section is called anger management, and you can get this from Havoca, HAVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA.org, and it's under their Information for Survivors tab. And if you go there, you can just click on the just look on the left-hand side of the page. There's a list of topics, and anger is one of them, and that's where we're at. So, anger management says, I'm just reading right from their site. They said here, trying to manage your anger is a worthy objective, but it's difficult and doomed to ultimate failure. Typically, anger management involves you in yet another battle or struggle, an internal one where you're embattled with yourself and where one side of you is feeling angry and furious and the other side is trying to stop feeling those feelings. So I like what they have to say there, because that's true. I think so many times, even if we think we're doing good and we're dealing with stuff and we're like, oh, I'm dealing with this and I'm getting help and I'm moving through the feelings. And part of us does want to do that. We want to, you know, that one side of us wants to move forward in the path to healing, and the other side doesn't want to feel those feelings because they're very uncomfortable. So I think that it's kind of interesting what they had to say there. They said, now as well as battling with a hostile or stupid world, they said, out there, you are internally battling with yourself. Quote unquote, like they're saying, I must not feel angry with this stupid idiot, or I have to try and remain calm and accept this disrespectful treatment, et cetera, et cetera. Great intentions, wrong route, they said. So good intentions, but just the wrong route, wrong way of doing it. They said, imagine you have two routes to drive to work. Route one is smooth and safe. Route two is littered with nails and broken bottles and normally requires you to stop at least once to change a wheel because of a puncture. But over the years, you're used to traveling down route two, and you've been doing it for so long, you've forgotten that there is a different way. So you keep doing it, and to try and make the trip work easier and quicker, you attend classes on how to change wheels and mend punctures more quickly and efficiently. I like what they had to say. That's an interesting scenario. Wouldn't it be better to learn how to take a different route, they said. The intention of no longer being a victim to the anger habit is wonderful, but the route of anger management implies that you first get angry and then try to stop feeling anger. The alternative to anger management, instead of managing anger, why not learn how to avoid it in the first place? How about developing the ability to encounter the situations that currently cause you to feel annoyed without their pressing your buttons? And the implication is in anger management is that you will get angry, so you examine and learn ways of feeling less angry. The alternative is to change your attitude towards the triggers, and this takes a bit longer, but is also a lot more likely to free you from being a victim to the triggers. So that's part of their anger management section. Basically, they're saying it's really the wrong route. We need to learn what's triggering us and then learn how to handle that. And instead of learning how to have an angry episode and then how to deal with it, sort of thing. I don't know if I so much agree with that. I think what they're saying is interesting. I like Michael Obsatz and Dave Decker's website, angerresources.com, because their work on anger is quite interesting. It made more sense to me because anger is a normal and actual necessary response. We are allowed to get angry. So I kind of, you know, on one hand, I see what they're saying here, but on the other hand, it's basically what I think what they're trying to say is, as far as anger from past issues, for instance, I'm angry about the abuse that I suffered, so, you know, it causes me a lot of problems throughout my day if I let it, right? I can sit there and recall things that my abusers, you know, my abusers, I call them my abusers, my mom, my dad, my brother, and even my other siblings and other people, the problems that they caused me as a child and the trauma and whatnot and how it's affected my life as an adult. And I can get angry about that. And really, it's okay to be angry about that. That's okay. That, to me, that's good anger. I should be allowed to feel that. I wasn't allowed to feel anything as a child. So if I got angry as a child, I was beaten. See, that's the problem. So if I didn't like something something was going on in my home, let's say one of my siblings was picking on me, which I would say picking on me would have been like pounding on me, hurting me. You know, quite often that's what our siblings were doing to each other, because that's what kids will do to each other, right? And so I wasn't allowed to show any response to that. So if I cried or if I got angry or upset and started telling them to stop doing what they were doing, I couldn't get any help from my parents because they were both my abusers, but I'd quite often be crying or, you know, telling my older siblings to stop hurting me. And then I'd get beaten for it because my mother didn't want to hear anything coming out of my mouth, right? I wasn't allowed to feel anything. I wasn't allowed to get angry. I was just supposed to sit there and take it and take whatever was going on, whether they were abusing me or whether my siblings were just doing their sibling abuse type stuff, which is normal between siblings, actually. But the thing is I should have been allowed to express my feelings, right? And I wasn't allowed to express them, so it became a real problem for me as a teen, because as a young child, I was just beaten for my feelings, whether it was love, anger, you know, any kind of emotional type stuff, you know. As a teen, it became a lot of external bullying type stuff. Also, a bad attitude towards authority figures, because obviously I was abused as a child, so I didn't really like any authority figure telling me anything. And a lot of self-injury, self-worthlessness, and also self-injury stuff. So I did a lot of drugs, dangerous behavior. I wasn't promiscuous or anything like that because I was raped as a child, so I didn't want anything to do with that. But I was shut down. So I was internalizing a lot of stuff, and so I was doing a lot of drugs and a lot of just escapism type stuff and extremely dangerous behavior type stuff. So this is what the problem. We are and should be allowed to experience whatever we need to experience, whether it's anger, sadness, grief. This is the problem. This is why I think this article kind of is sort of, on one end, I know what they're saying, but on the other end, it's not very good advice for abuse survivors, because abuse survivors have been stuffing their anger for so long. The issue is that's the problem, to learn how to deal with it. So just to try to find ways around it and learn how to not allow those buttons to get pushed so that we can change our attitude towards the triggers. To me, that's for somebody who's trying to be in denial, right? That's for somebody who wants to stay in a denial state so that they don't have to deal with it. So it's kind of like, I'm not going to let you push my buttons. I'm not going to feel what I need to feel so that I'm not triggered by this person or this particular situation. I don't know. To me, it's like, no, we do have the right to be angry, but we don't have the right to hurt ourselves or hurt somebody else if we're angry. And that's the thing. I mean, we shouldn't be hurting ourselves because we're angry, and we shouldn't be hurting other people around us if we're angry. That's why abusers get angry. If an abuser gets angry and abuses somebody in their family, like whether it's their partner, their wife, their whoever it is, their husband, their children, that's using anger as a weapon, right? And that's wrong. And also, if somebody's, you know, angry and then they start doing, you know, harmful things to themselves, that's using weapon as that's using anger as a weapon. It's not a tool. Anger should be used as a tool. So we do have the right to get angry, but angry to what extent? To the angry that we're going to go out and hurt somebody or hurt ourselves because we're angry? That's what abusers do, and that's what some survivors do because they're so wounded that they'll end up hurting themselves because they're angry. This is absolutely horrible. We have to learn how to deal with anger, and I think that's the issue. I don't think it's so much that we need to. So I don't necessarily agree with this article. I know what they're trying to say, but we have the right to be allowed to be angry. The issue, and I think the reason why I think this is just me talking from so many years of pent up problems because of the abuse, because I never dealt with it. Never dealt with it. Never allowed myself to deal with it properly. And at the age of 42, was contemplating suicide again, for the last time. I decided after that I was going to get help, but that's where I started my healing journey. But up until the age of 42, I've been struggling because I kept shoving this stuff down. I was supposed to love my parents, right? I was supposed to love my mom. I was supposed to love my dad. I was supposed to love my brother. I was supposed to not have, you know, this is my inner person sitting around thinking for 42 years that, you know, part of me is so wounded by these people, and yet I'll never see any justice. I'll never see any restoration, you know, on that end because they're all dead and they didn't care what they did anyway. And the other siblings that are still alive are in denial. So what are you going to do? So, you know, it's kind of like I'm sitting around thinking, yeah, but, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, but everybody loves their parents, you know, and I should love my parents and, you know, and all this stuff trying to reconcile the whole thing. And then the other part of me was just this wounded child that I was looking back at the horrific abuse that I suffered as a child, you know, not just physical stuff, you know, the physical beatings and the blood loss and the horrible stuff, you know, my mother bashing my head in and really, you know, this the CSA child sexual abuse that I suffered. It was the emotional stuff, you know, the verbal abuse, the psychological abuse, the stuff that cut my heart, you know, and trying to reconcile that with this whole idea that, oh, but I shouldn't feel these things towards, you know, towards my family, right? Because I love my family, right? So this is that dual kind of problem that survivors have, you know, where, you know, they don't want to be angry at their family, even if their family, somebody in the family hurt them, because they love that person, see? It's just the same as an abuse survivor. This is the same exact thing that an abused partner, like a woman or a man, or who, you know, somebody in a relationship is being abused by their partner, whoever it is, wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. The other person's the abuser, and then that person sits there, you know, after the abuse is over, whether that abuser actually apologizes or not, that abuse survivor sits there and thinks, but I love him or I love her, you know. And so that's that real problem that comes about because of abuse. We don't want to feel angry towards our abusers, but part of us does because we're wounded, right? And so it's like part of us, if this just stews and stews and stews, and we never get any kind of reconciliation or no justice, no nothing. We're just left with this pile of garbage that we have to deal with. It's very difficult to walk this minefield, right? Because a lot of people will tell you, oh, you shouldn't be angry. You need to just let go. The other people are telling you, no, it's okay to be angry. You're like, well, what is this all? What's right? Which one's right? You know, and it's like, well, you have to think about it. You know, it's like what caused me to almost kill myself at the age of 42. It's the stuffing of all of my anger, the stuffing of the rage. I stuffed the rage. I stuffed the anger. I knew I had been abused as a child. You know, I remembered, you know, laying on the floor, beaten and battered, you know, bloody, a mess, right? I remembered all this stuff. I won't go into too many more details here, too many more graphic details. But this is stuff I remember. I remember the fights between my parents and how scared me and my siblings were and how horrible the situation was. And I remember, you know, the CSA child sexual abuse, you know. I remember all of that. See, so that part of me is angry, and that's okay. I should be allowed to be angry about that. If I wasn't angry about that, there'd be something wrong with me. It's like, if you don't get angry about something like that, there's something wrong. Because that's wrong. And we do have the right to be angry. I have the right to be angry about being that little girl, just so alone in the abuse, even though I was living in a house full of, like, generally 7 to 9 people, just depending on who was home. Because I'm the last of 7 siblings with 2 parents. So, I mean, there was generally 6 people around, 7 people, 5 people in the house, and I was alone, completely alone. And it's like, I remember just feeling so unwanted and so worthless as a 7-year-old, you know, 6-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 15-year-old, right on up, you know. And then as this adult person trying to make sense of all this, trying to learn how to live without hurting myself and killing myself and trying to learn how to live without hurting other people, you know, and stuffing the anger. Age 42, I'm still wanting to kill myself. You know, so here I am, you know, 50, age of 51, 52, almost 10 years later, sitting here going, no, it's okay to be angry. I had every right to be angry, and I had every right to get help and every right to those feelings that I had. So they're saying, you know, we need to learn how to deal with things and put things in a perspective where we don't allow people to push our triggers and push our buttons. Well, I get that. I understand that part of it, but I don't think I don't know. As far as them saying that we need to stop working on trying to allow ourselves to be angry, you know, that we need to just allow ourselves to have a different attitude towards the people or whatever the situation is. And it's kind of like, I see what they're saying, but on the other end, we have every right to be angry. I have every right to my feelings, you know, from being abused. And I don't have to stuff them, and I don't have to feel bad about them. The only thing I need to make sure that I do is don't hurt myself because of them, and also don't hurt other people because of them. That's a huge issue for survivors of abuse. We need to make sure we're not hurting ourselves. We need to make sure we're not hurting those around us because we've been abused. We need to allow ourselves to feel these things. So how do we do it? Well, by working through it. There's different ways. You can get a counselor. You can get a therapist. You can get, you can do your own self-help, which I do a lot of that because that's what I trust. I really don't trust other people. And, you know, you can get an anonymous support group. That's very, very helpful. Or you can just join a support group if you're not worried about trying to be anonymous, right? I mean, I belong to several support groups. I actually run one of them. And it's still going. It's a CSA incest support group. And so it's just important to get help, you know, and realize that, yeah, I do have the right to all of these feelings from being abused. I have the right to all of them. But I don't need to hurt myself, and I shouldn't be hurting other people because of them. So how do I then deal with it? There's many ways to deal with it. We don't have to just change our attitude towards the triggers so much that, oh, it's so that I'm looking at the picture. Basically what that's saying is I need to change my attitude towards the triggers. Let's say I'm thinking about something that my abuser mother did to me when I was little, especially these horrific beatings that she would dish out. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I get angry because I'm like, how could she do that to me? How could she do? As I remember, you know, being on the floor on my hands and knees, you know, trying to cover my head. And she's bashing me with heavy objects, right? I mean, I was beaten many, many times with many different types of heavy objects. But I name a few of them in my books and stuff and talk about a few of them. But, you know, I sit there and how could she do that to me? And then I'm supposed to what? I'm supposed to love her? I'm supposed to care about her? She didn't care about me. You know, I'm supposed to care because she's my mother, right? I'm supposed to love her because she's my mother. She didn't love me. She didn't take care of me. Part of me, that little girl that is laying on the floor trying to protect her head, being kicked and punched and beaten with heavy objects, does love her mother. See, that's the problem. You know, I was laying on the floor and I did love my mother. And she was beating the crap out of me, trying to kill me, really. And it's like, you know, how horrific. Right. So then I get angry because I'm like, how could she do that to me, knowing that I loved her and knowing that I was just her little girl and she should have been either got, you know, let me go to social services or, you know, or just picked me up off the floor and started to do the right things by me and love me. Right. How could she do that? Right. And it's like, then how do you reconcile that stuff? First of all, by not hurting myself and hurting other people around me, just because I'm dealing with these things. But also understanding that I do have the right to be angry. And I don't have to then just look at her in a different light and push all that stuff down and shove all that abuse down again into a drawer in which it was, so that I can see my mother in a different light. Now, I see my mother for exactly who she was. You know, I see her for exact, I see my abusers for exactly who they were, who they are, but they're dead, so who they were, right? And, I mean, I see them exactly as they were. And I'm not going to shove them down, shove this stuff down any further so that I can love my dad and I can love my mom and my brother. It's like, no, that's incredibly wrong, you know? So I don't have, I'm not going to change the way that, the way that I feel towards my abusers just to make it see like better so that I'm not angry anymore about it. So I don't know, part of this article, it may make sense for some things, but not for heavy duty abuse type stuff where people are dealing with stuff that's from so long ago, you know, it's, you know, even the abusers may not be around, or they may be in dead, or they may be in prison or whatever. And, or they may just be still doing their thing. You know, how do you reconcile this stuff? This is just so, this article is quite superficial, if you ask me. All this whole section on their anger stuff is quite superficial because it's not dealing with the real issues of what real abuse survivors go through. You know, I don't know how anybody could not be angry about the fact of what my mother did to me and my dad and my brother. Even a stranger should be angry about that. Even though it didn't happen to them, they should think, that's not right. That's horrible. No one should abuse a child like that. No one should abuse anybody like that. It's just like when I see another survivor story, it angers me because, and that's okay. I'm allowed to get angry because these things are not okay. It's not okay to hurt and wound children. It's not okay to wound other people either. It's not okay to do this stuff. The world wants us to just learn how to deal with the triggers so that when we are being abused, we can just take it. It's like, that basically, that's kind of what they're saying. The alternative is to change your attitude towards the triggers. And this takes a little bit longer, but it's also more likely to free you from being a victim to the triggers. Well, what's the triggers? Allowing somebody to abuse you? Or being okay with the fact that we were abused as children, or that I was abused as a child, I'm supposed to be okay with that? No, I'm never going to be okay with that. It was never right. It's never okay. I'll never be able to be okay with it. I mean, I've been made barren by CSA child sexual abuse. That just pisses me off. I'm very angry about that. I'm 52 years old almost. I'll be 52 this year. And I'm angry because I've got no grandchildren. Other people around me have children and grandchildren. You know, I wanted to have 10 kids, but I couldn't have not even one because I was raped as a child, right? And so, you know, I'm very angry about that, you know, that my body was misused and abused, and my body, my mind, my spirit, my soul, every part of me was abused, and I'm just sick over it. It was wrong. I think that's healthy. You know what I mean? That's healthy. Not to sit there and say, oh, my brother, he didn't know what he was doing. You know, he was mentally ill, and he was on drugs, and he was a heroin addict and a cocaine addict, and he just didn't know what he was doing for a year as he was raping me, but he just didn't know. You know, he was 21 years old. I was 8. You know, it's like, no, he knew what he was doing, and he hurt me incredibly bad. He tied me up. He put tape over my mouth. He bound and gagged me so I couldn't scratch him, and I couldn't bite him, and I couldn't scream. So he literally he violated me. Violently raped me, so you know, so I'm barren. You know what I mean? So I'm allowed to be angry about that. Absolutely. So we only have about a minute left. So this anger stuff is really interesting, and I think it's important because this is where most people would consider, oh, you just need to let that go as a survivor. Oh, you're just angry, and you need to just learn how to deal with your feelings. It's like, well, yeah, we do need to learn how to deal with our feelings, but we have every right to be angry, but just not hurt somebody else or hurt someone. So that's why it's really important to get help with this stuff and not, you know, allow yourself to be destroyed by this stuff, right? There's tons of help out there, but you have to look for it. If you're kind of looking and you don't know where to find it, go to NASCA, N-A-A-S-C-A, National Association for Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, N-A-A-S-C-A. Go to NASCA, contact one of us. You can contact me. I'm a NASCA ambassador for Alberta. And I've got resources. I know kind of I can help you steer you in a good direction. If you're struggling and you don't know how to get help, you know, contact somebody. Call a crisis line. Do whatever you have to do. But you stick it out and you get some help, right? And I wish you all a really good weekend, and I hope you have a nice weekend. And we'll talk to you next Monday, 7:30, same time, same place. And I did move it up a half an hour just so I don't have to get up so early because I'm little bit tired these days. I need to take a break. So I just bumped it up a half an hour. But you take care of yourself, you know, and you get the help that you need because you so deserve it, right? We all do. Take care until next time. Bye-bye.